You ready? Let's go.
Get away, comes McDavid. McDavid comes in, scores! More McDavid magic on opening night.
Hockey gods will always come back and get you.
Back up, Victor Hedman waits for a trailer and Gord. He has another one in Johnson. He advances right in. He scores! Victor Hedman wins it in overtime.
Hockey gods will come back and get you every time.
Welcome to the Religion of Hockey Podcast, Episode 6. This time we'll be going for the Western Conference, the NHLPA Player of Poll, and a lot more. But first, I'm joined by Nico and Jay, and we'll be doing the, the pregame skates.
Hockey God.
The Hockey God.
Hockey God, do you mean?
Yeah.
Hockey Maverick. 2-0.
I mean,
hockey
Nico
Maverick,
is 2-0, right?
So,
yes.
Yes, if you missed last week, I destroyed
goalies,
Nate, and yet another.
Be quiet.
Another
be quiet.
Quiz.
Be quiet. Former Stars goalie Ben
quiz.
Bishop.
All right, let's. Former Stars.
It doesn't
goalie,
matter. I was trying to help you at that point. It doesn't even matter. You were down like 4.
You didn't even help him. You threw him off.
It didn't matter. You were up high so much. It didn't even matter.
I wasn't going to win anyways. Let's just not.
All right, let's get into the pregame skate.
I knew you were so close to say the other name you were about to say, and you're like, "Dip."
Last week we started up a new
the
segment.
The sweet life.
The sweet life of Nate, Grav, and Nico. But we're gonna rename it the pregame skate, where we tell you all about our week off in real life. So. Let's tell the people about our exciting lives.
So let's tell the people about what we did.
Our exciting lives. Well, you went somewhere cool, Jay.
Well, as I said in like the last week, I went to New York and I saw the Habs Islanders game, which was gameplay wise was terrible, but the experience was actually really good. It was in the Coliseum, so in the nicer stadium. And it was actually really good. Like they weren't as rowdy as I thought they would be, but obviously once we let in a goal with like 3 minutes left, it got pretty wild. But before then, it was pretty nice. The food was good. Concessions were good. A little bit pricey. It was like $7 for a bag of popcorn. I was like,
New York, baby.
No, sir. But yeah, it was actually a pretty good experience. I got to see Matt Barzal. Like, I was like, I don't know. I should have sent the guys pictures, but I was like, I was one row behind the bench. So literally, I saw Barry Trotz. And I saw
really?
Matt Barzal. Like, I can see their facial feature. You know what I mean? And I saw like their antics. Like, what's his name? Scott Mayfield was very he was laughing a lot. Like, you'd come off and you'd start talking and like just laughing a lot, which I picked up on. And it's just cool how like I got to see how coaches and assistant coaches kind of function. You don't really see it on TV just because it's kind of buried in the back, but there's a lot of communication, like a lot of iPads being tossed, I guess. there's a lot of stuff where you should, like, behind the bench, sometimes you can't see, like, in my position, I can see, like, the left corner, but it makes up for it because you get to see all those little things that are super cool.
Yeah.
That's dope. I mean, I've never sat behind
It was because
NHL
I turned
bench.
17, so yeah, I'm 17 now.
Birthday present.
Happy birthday,
boys.
You got
way.
To see the Habs lose. Congratulations.
Guys, it's my birthday. Whatever.
So you went to the Coliseum. Everyone kind of says that place is kind of trash. So tell us about the Coliseum.
So the Coliseum, it's like, I think it's not the building is trash. I think it's... I don't know. No fans really show up. Like, it was very quiet for the most part. Like, it shouldn't have been that quiet. I actually thought the Coliseum wasn't bad at all, to be honest. But I've only been to like three like NHL stadiums in my life, or four actually. I've been to Buffalo, the Bell Center, the Scotiabank Center now, or the ACC. I still call it the ACC. And then I've also been now to this stadium. And honestly, like, to me, they all seem kind of the same. I don't know. For me, I don't know how to judge it really. Plus, I was in a really good seat, so it's kind of hard to say it was a bad experience, right?
Ah, that is true. Yeah, because I've been to the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, obviously the United Center here in Chicago. I've been to the one in Toronto, ACC in Toronto. I don't even know what the heck it's called in Ottawa. The Tire Center.
Canadian Tire.
Oh, you're not Canadian, that's why. Okay, never mind. All right, you're good.
I couldn't remember what that was called. But I've been there. But otherwise, I mean, I think that the United Center is the best one out of all of them, just because you can like you feel the crowd on you, if that makes sense.
What?
Like when they're going, you feel the crowd, like when they do something, all you hear is like, oh, you know, like they're on top of you. Like you're part.
I get
of
what
it.
You're saying. So basically, in the Islanders, kind of the exact opposite. You kind of feel like it's very isolated because the fans don't show up. They have literally the least attendance average in the whole league. So like their fans don't show up. But again, I'm betting because they're like a first and second place team for most of the year. It must be because they have two stadiums. Like that must be tough. It's also not sure. Maybe I'm doing I'm not doing New York justice here. So it's in where the stadium is. It's not even in the middle of nowhere. But it's kind of in just like a big empty space. Maybe that's just me and I don't know the area, but from what it looked like, it was just kind of an empty space. It wasn't in the city, so that probably has an idea.
You want to talk about empty spaces? I forgot the other stadium. I went to Carolina in Raleigh.
Okay. Oh yeah.
One of my friends, Isaiah, shout out to him. I've been in Raleigh, and that one literally is in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's a forest, and then there's a stadium.
You guys are probably following the directions. Is this the arena?
It's so weird. It just emerges from the forest. Like, you are here. like it's so weird. And so what's funny is there's a parking lot, two parking lots, the stadium, and across the street is the Carolina football team thing. And the Carolina football place has more parking spaces than the actual Carolina Hurricanes thing. And like when you go inside, I mean, you guys have been to like minor league arenas. That arena is literally a minor league arena. It looks like a small little hut. There's like nothing going on. They have more banners hanging for like 1970s basketball players than anything else. Yeah, it's so weird. It's literally like a minor league arena. Like there's people in like, it's so weird. It's just that arena is in the middle of nowhere. That's
for
sure. I mean,
BB&T Center for the Florida Panthers is like literally nowhere.
Well, that's in northern Florida. It's like kinda, people just don't go
it's
there.
It's kind of just like suburb.
All right. Well, anyway, I mean, I guess going back to what we're pregame skate, what we were doing. I haven't done anything this whole week. My computer has been broken. My phone stopped
working.
Guys,
it took us 45 minutes to start the podcast.
Just 45 minutes? That's low. It was like 2 hours.
Yeah, actually, no. There was one where we just kept talking about the most random stuff. It wasn't even hockey, and it took us like 2 hours just to start. But this time, we were going to start like real quick. So like, we can't talk like that for so long, and it's not even on the podcast. And then his computer started dying, I guess.
Oh, dude, this computer sucks. I bought a replacement battery for it to not work, and now I'm not even using the battery, and I just have it plugged in, so if I randomly cut out, you know why. It's literally, I'm on a computer right now.
Explains sometimes where we're like, oh, Nico's gone, so we'll just carry the podcast, Grab and I, so that kind of explains that.
Ever since I started the podcast, technology has been bad.
Nathan, what do?
I went to the Stars Panthers game yesterday night. Stars actually won. So
they won
I've been
a
to
game?
Four. Yeah. I've been to four Stars games this season. The first three were against Nashville, Tampa, and Vegas. They lost all three. And I was like, oh boy, I'm gonna be going 0-4 this season with the Stars, and thankfully, oh my god, it was really close. Or it was 4-2 for the Dallas Stars. It was 2-2 for a while. Barkov was putting Florida on his back, and then Radulov got the 3-2 goal, and then Radulov got the 4-2 empty netter. So it was an entertaining game. There wasn't a ton of people because it's the Florida Panthers, and not a lot of people don't think of that as a marquee matchup. But it was still pretty loud in there, and it was just a fun game.
I just hit my mic. Sorry about that. I just smacked my mic.
Have you ever been to another stadium?
I haven't been to another stadium. I've been to a couple of other MLB stadiums, I believe, when I was a lot younger, but I haven't been to any other NHL stadiums.
Right on. Well, there's our off-ice report.
The pregame skate. Stop stealing other people's stuff.
Oh, my God. God darn
Whatever.
It.
NHL player career poll. Let's go.
Okay.
We'll cut it out. Cut it out.
Cut it in post.
All right. NHL player poll. So I just want to read out the title that it says. Or not the title, but the underlying.
The subtitle.
Description.
The subtitle.
Description. Often imitated.
Okay, read it faster. This is gonna, we're going to take too much time.
The NHL player poll is back.
Oh my God, hurry up.
Hold on. I just said 2018-19 edition. NHL players are surveyed on more than 20 hockey-related questions. Dude, I'm trying to read here.
You're reading never,
with more.
You never interrupt the storyteller.
With more than 500 players taking part of the poll.
Whoa.
Players weighed in on a variety of questions covering skills, arenas, teams, and few others.
And results. Let's go. Oh my God. Okay. All right. Come on, so we'll start off with skills. So we had who is the best forward. So this is from players. So I'll tell
Antoine
you.
Antoine Roussel.
So obviously I'll tell you the percentage. You guys can tell me if you agree. So it's 63% to Connor McDavid, which is in first.
Yes.
Second to Sidney Crosby with 17%, yes. And then Nathan MacKinnon and Nikita Kucherov with around 4% to bring up third
Switch
and fourth.
So fifth is Alexander Barkov, and I'll mention this later. But if it's best forward, I can't help but agree with that. Obviously, Connor McDavid's an unworldly player, so makes sense.
Yeah, the only thing I can speak on is the fact that like Connor McDavid kind of took over. I thought Connor McDavid would still be like in first, but I did not think it'd be by that wide of a margin.
Yeah, I thought Sidney Crosby would still have a lot more votes.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like a less of a margin, but Connor McDavid would still win. In my opinion, we'll talk. This is for another podcast, and we don't have a lot of content to go over. But we'll have the debate where I still think Sidney Crosby is the best forward in the world. But yeah.
Yep. And there was a total of 517 votes. All right, on that
so
one.
On to the next one, which is a little bit more kind of weird for me. It's a little, not even like the choices, just that, like defensemen are kind of weird because I don't think there's any standout defensemen realistically. I think there's just a bunch of good defensemen, if you know what I mean. If you know what I'm saying.
I don't know. Victor Hedman's pretty good.
No, obviously, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be the best.
Good
but
player.
Yeah, so we have who is the best defenseman? We have 31% for Victor Hedman, 20% for Drew Doughty, 10% for Brent Burns, 9.5% for his teammate Erik Karlsson, and 6.1% for Roman Josi. So, I honestly can't agree or disagree. I'm just kind of indifferent because for me, they all kind of blend in a mush. There's like seven defensemen who rotate to win the Norris every year, and like to me, it's just kind of there's seven like elite defensemen in the league.
Erik Karlsson.
Last year was the first year that Victor Hedman actually won his first Norris Trophy. So once you finally win it, you're probably going to be in it for the next couple of years. But Victor Hedman was definitely it. I think he's crazy good. He's so fast for how big he is. 6'6". The guy's stick is like a whole person long. He uses his body to position people off the puck, and he has great puck moving abilities himself. I think he brings the entire, you know, I guess you would say the entire plate of everything you could want from a defenseman, because he has that two-way ability to go up and down the ice. He has the offensive IQ that Erik Karlsson has, the defensive ability that I would say that Jarmuson is, who's the best defense defenseman in my opinion. And he just makes everyone better around him. It doesn't matter if you're a forward defenseman, and even the goaltender. He makes the goaltender's job super easy as well. I agree with that.
Would I be a little bit dumb to say he's kind of underrated this year just because everyone talks about Tampa in general and then they talk about Kucherov?
Oh, no way.
Hedman?
No one brings up Hedman ever for some reason.
I always see Hedman
for me,
in every conversation.
For me, I hear Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov. No one ever shows Hedman love for me.
I guess.
Comparatively. Not in general. Just comparatively to the Kucherov.
Well, when you think of Tampa Bay, you think of offensive power, don't you? You don't think
of
defense.
Well, you do think of offensive power, but their defense is probably one of the top in the league with McDonough and Hedman, right?
Yeah, but again, when you think of Tampa Bay, the first thing you think of, wow.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Comparatively, I don't think he gets as much credit as you probably should get on that team.
Yeah. Then I agree with that. All right, let's move on.
I want to talk about this because this is cool.
No.
I wonder why.
So we have who is the best goalie. We'll go from last to first just so I can enjoy it. So, no, it's not. It's not wrong.
It is wrong.
It is not wrong.
Well, before we move on, though, there was only 473 people voted on that defenseman thing, which I found
Erik Karlsson is the best defenseman in the world.
No, right, that is a no from me.
All right, go all right.
So we have 4.8% for Sergei Bobrovsky in fifth. We have 6.5% for Marc-Andre Fleury in fourth. 17.1% for Vasilevsky in third. Pekka Rinne in second with 17.3%. And the price is right. Carey Price in first with 29.9%. He is the man. He is the best goalie in the world and will be for most of his career. He just surpassed Jacques Plante for most wins as a Canadiens goaltender, and he still has probably like 7 years left on this team as a pretty decent player. Actually, no, not seven, but probably like four or five. So yeah, Carey Price, best goalie in the world.
I think he's gonna play.
If you think Carey Price is not the best goalie in the world, I think you have a problem.
The question is kind of vague. The question is like the best goalie. Like, are we talking best goalie in his prime? Like, if we're talking the best goaltender on the top of his game, it's Carey Price. But like, if we're talking about like this year, like the last couple of years, Carey Price doesn't touch guys like Vasilevsky or Rene or even like John Gibson.
Actually,
like,
I can argue that this year he's been elite. He's been elite.
He's been good. He hasn't been elite this year.
He hasn't been elite on a very bad defensive team.
He's been good, not elite, Jay. Come on.
He's been elite.
He's been really good.
Let me get the stats out here. All right, let's go here.
Well, for me personally, so me watching Carey Price, I do watch a lot of Montreal games just because I enjoy watching them.
Oh, thanks, man.
And while I'm watching these games, it's like a lot of these times you see a lot of lapses and just, you know, mental lapses from the defenseman on Montreal. Yeah. And a lot of times it ends up being up to Carey Price, who, like, even if his stats aren't like number one through five in the league, like they probably are this year, but even if they're
9-16 save percentage,
like he's still, yeah, but how many games has he played?
53.
And you look and look how many 58, look how many actually, but,
yeah.
And look at the, like, this team is not supposed to even be a playoff team. Wasn't it supposed to be a rebuilding year? And I mean that, like, and I'm just saying, I know this might be just making excuses because I honestly think that Freddie Anderson should be up in this list as well. I don't understand how he's not. But Carey Price is, or you can argue with me, I think he's the best player on the Canadiens. Obviously, yeah, he gets paid like it. But I also think that he's a top three player. All right,
so he's fifth in wins, but let me also say this. He makes elite saves look easy. Like, he'll make saves every game. We're on TSN and on Sportsnet and on ESPN and these stations like that. They'll put on highlights, but literally Carey Price makes them look easy, and he does it so often that they don't even put them on highlights anymore. Like, that's how it is. He has 30 wins, which is fifth in the NHL. His save percentage is third in the NHL with .916 behind Frederik Andersen and John Gibson. Well, this is with 50 games played, at least, by the way.
Wait a second. Ben Bishop was like .931.
Oh, I had it set for 40... For 50 games played, my bad.
Never mind.
Yeah.
But with the amount of games played, it's still pretty good.
Oh, exactly, for sure.
This year, too, like, since save percentage is down.
Exactly. And goals against average, he's right there, too. He has 2.54 goals against, which, again, is in the higher tier. So I would say maybe for this year, he's not top three, but he's definitely top six or seven. And that's on a team with way worse defensemen than all these other teams. I mean, like, Vasilevsky obviously has a way better defense core. I mean, Fleury probably has a better defense core because they're all playing amazing for whatever reason. Pekka Rinne, obviously the best defense core in the league. So that's just my opinion, that he is the best goalie in the world, and I'll always and I won't even lie, I am a homer, but he is to me, and he'll always will be for the most part.
You're an Avs fan, Jay.
And keep in mind, these aren't just like
media. This isn't media.
These are the players.
It doesn't surprise me that they voted Carey Price, because he would seem like, to a player, the most hard to get a goal past.
He's a battler. It's crazy. But yeah, Picarini, I agree. I'm surprised they didn't put John Gibson. I'm surprised he's not up there.
Okay. Mostly because he probably hasn't been great for that long.
So for me, it's like, I'm just going to name, this is not in order. I have Carey Price, Pekka Rinne, Vasilevsky, Fleury, Bobrovsky, but I also have guys like Frederik Andersen and John Gibson in there. So those are my top seven goalies, and you can arrange them however you want. But I think you have probably Carey Price first, second Rinne, third, I would actually say third Fleury, just because he just has some, like, he's just always been good. He's just very consistent. And then, I don't know, you just have a good seven goalies in, well, on those people, what I said. I don't know if you would add anybody else in there. From Carey Price, Rinne, Vasilevsky, Fleury, Bobrovsky, Anderson and Gibson. I mean, who else are you putting in there?
Not Ben Bishop.
Yeah, this is true. All right, let's move on to the next.
Who has the best shot? This is horrible.
This is a landslide.
And
right
for
here.
Me, it's funny because one of the guys, the guy who I'm talking about, is on my team, and I disagree heavily. Anyway, so we have obviously Alex Ovechkin, 50% of the vote. Then we have Shea Weber, 14.6%. Patrick Laine, 12.6%. Austin Matthews, 8%. 1.9% for Steven Stamkos in fifth. That was from 1-5. Let me just say, Ovechkin deserves to be in first. Obviously, the goaltenders literally know what he's going to do, and they still can't stop it. Shea Weber now is not second for best shot. I would say that's Austin Matthews.
It's interesting.
Now, I get confused on this. Is this best shot, like, who has the most
accurate this is two
shot?
Different opinions. These are hockey players that either think best shot is the hardest shot or the accurate shot. That's where Shea Weber comes in.
So, for me, you
have
to say it's combined,
there.
Right? You have to say who has the best shot power-wise and accuracy-wise. So, obviously, Ovechkin's in first. That's no doubt.
Well, I don't think some of the players did that because Shea Weber doesn't have combined.
No, but that's the only way we can look at it because we don't know, right?
You know what? When I'm watching Shea Weber and he takes a shot, every time he takes it, it's usually on
for
net.
Sure.
And it usually gets through all the screen.
Well, it's not like an awesome
match. He should be top five. I just don't think he should be second.
Yeah, I don't think he should be second, but the players voted on it. I think what players look at, for personally, because when I watch it, I think what players mean by best shot is what gets through and creates opportunity.
Create space and
because
yeah.
And while Shea Weber, people are A, scared to get in front of the shot, but B, when it does go through, it gets through all the screen, it goes on net and creates further offensive opportunities. Which for a team like the Montreal Canadiens, where a lot of times they're going to be grinding out in front of the net, it's perfect for them to plop goals, like easy goals from the shots
he's
that he
also
takes. And I think it.
Oh, I was just gonna say he's also one of the only players who can get it through all the screen stuff. He's also one of the only players who can score it directly while it's still like low, like under like a foot on the ice, or maybe like a foot and a half. Like he's one of the only players
so
who can
shoot low shots,
but directly go in. Like every defenseman, when they take direct shots, they're shooting high because that's why I have the best chance. I think Weber just has the power to just power it through and shoot it low, so there's a chance for a tip and for it to just go directly in.
Okay, so next.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Nate has no say in this because Klingberg takes shots in there all the way up to someone's shoulders.
Klingberg ain't going to be up there, let's be honest. But moving on to the next category, and in my opinion, the worst, not the worst category like on a category basis, but like the worst one that I disagree with the most is the most underrated player. Now, you have Barkov at 21%, he wins it. Then you have Nicholas Backstrom at 11%, Braden Point at 7.7%, Evgeny Kuznetsov at 4.4, Mika Rantanen at 4.4, and this one it's just so bad. Like Alexander Barkov was underrated in 2016 for like 2017, I would say, and then he started to get all this credit because everybody was saying he was underrated, and I love Barkov. I call him Dadkov. He's that good, and I don't think he's underrated anymore. I just don't. He's almost overrated now because of how many people are saying are underrated. And
he's
Nicholas Backstrom
rated.
Is even worse.
He's properly
Backstrom
rated.
Backstrom is even worse. Backstrom is even worse because he's been
overrated.
Underrated for like 10 years.
Not
Backstrom has been underrated.
Properly rated, Barkov.
No, I think what this is the amount of like what like us three love hockey, right? We all talk about hockey
all
the time.
I would say so.
But when you ask somebody who's in the NHL or kind of knows the NHL, and you ask them like, "Hey, do you know what team Alexander Barkov plays for?" No one's gonna be like, "Oh, the Panthers."
No one knows the Panthers are a team, man. No one watches their games.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they're talking about, like, we know that Alexander Barkov is one of the best players in the league. But when you ask a group of like 30 people who kind of watch hockey, and you ask them what team Alexander Barkov plays for, no one's gonna know. Nicholas Backstrom, I don't think people are gonna know that. Maybe more now because of the Stanley Cup winning, because he won the Stanley Cup. But even him, like nobody talks about the past man. They only care about Ovechkin.
Yeah.
You're looking to hear about Ovechkin.
So for me,
Braden
Point, Barkov. Makes
like,
sense.
Point, in my opinion,
Backstrom
is,
honestly, Backstrom
like,
is he's not. I think he's properly rated. He just goes unnoticed, but I think those are two different things. But I think Braden Point is probably the most underrated player in the NHL.
Definitely, like Braden Point and Mikko Rantanen.
I don't know if Mikko Rantanen is underrated, man. Because we've been
Mikko Rantanen is overrated. Oh. The most overrated player in the NHL. Don't at me.
How are you gonna tell? You gonna
he's
tell
not
me that?
Good. He is not that? A great player.
What is he? Okay, how are you? Okay, explain yourself. You can't just
okay,
tell
so there was this Sportsnet graphic a couple of months ago. It was like Andrew Berkshire, I think, made it. And there was like expected goals, not points, obviously, because he's has good points numbers. But like all these advanced stats, like expected goals. I don't think it was like Corsi or anything, but all these things. And like it added up to him being barely above average, an average forward. And I don't agree with that necessarily. I think he's a solid first liner. But I've seen people put him in like the top five winger conversation just because Mikko Rantanen.
How are you gonna tell me that he's not good and then be like he's a first liner?
MacKinnon has been carrying him.
Here's what I'll say.
That's a straight fact.
He does have MacKinnon, but to have this many
MacKinnon
points
is a top
to go
five
on that
player in the world.
There was that what was it, Nico? That 15 game stretch or whatever. He had a 15 game stretch where
was
he was
amazing.
Going off. It's like James Harden in the NBA. You cannot discredit this guy for what he's done. But I think obviously you have Nathan MacKinnon, but he had Nathan MacKinnon years before. Gabriel Landeskog has Nathan MacKinnon. A lot of people play Nathan MacKinnon and have not done this. So you could say he's a solid first
well,
liner.
Nathan MacKinnon, duo together.
Nathan MacKinnon did not have that 2 years ago.
You,
he is
to
the
say
guy
he's not
now.
Underrated, maybe you're right. But to say that he's overrated is a kind of, I would say it's
he
a bad
is.
Take.
If you put...
He still plopped 20 goals his first year.
He's been playing with MacKinnon his whole career.
238 games. In 238 games, he has 209 points. I believe that is still... I gotta say, that has to be at least top 10 in scoring the last 3 years.
I would have disagreed that he's underrated, but I definitely wouldn't say he's overrated. I would say he'd be properly rated for
if
the most part.
If you put him like an average center, let's say, I don't know.
You're just a hater.
I think he's a hater.
No,
I think
I've seen
up a good
I've
point.
Seen more Mikko Rantanen than anybody
that he
else.
Is playing with MacKinnon. He's bringing up a good point that like when you have a guy like
I
MacKinnon,
have
he's such a good player.
More
like
Nathan
McDavid.
MacKinnon and more Nathan or yeah. Mikko Rantanen than anybody else.
So let me just
and
say,
I've seen more good games.
Obviously, Braden Point. I think we all agree that is probably the most underrated player, right?
My boy.
You'd agree? So then
I agree with that.
I would
I
say
that.
Nicholas Backstrom, again, I would say he's probably rated. This is just my opinion. I have no facts to back this up. But whenever people talk about centers, no one really talks about him. But he does so much for Ovechkin and for TJ Oshie on that team. So for me, he's not underrated. But again, he's properly rated. But if you had to put on like a scale or like a range, he'd be like more to the underrated side of properly rated. Do you see what I'm saying?
Kuznetsov was on the first line center on that cup run, by the way.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not. That's what I said, too. I meant to say Kuznetsov is obviously there, too, as well. But yeah, for this, it's kind of. Also, I'm not going to be mad at the players, also, because again, these are the players. They're
yeah.
the people who should be judging this. But for me, it's like this is probably the one where they probably got a lot of it wrong. But it's also very hard to judge anyway.
Yeah, you got to be developed in like hockey Twitter and like the hockey world to really get like the best opinion on it. And like nobody has the best opinion, but I feel like with the
it's
players,
also very
you kind of
give
them
right. So there's,
you
not,
give them the
there's nothing
of the
you can
doubt,
do.
I would say.
It's very subjective. There's nothing you can do yeah. about that. So let's move on. After that pretty heated debate, who is the most difficult player to play against?
I'm going to clip that. Mikko Rantanen yeah. is
all right,
not
so we
good.
Have 30.9% for Connor McDavid. We have 16% for Sidney Crosby. We have 9.2% for Bergeron, 5% for MacKinnon, 3.5% for Kopitar. So the top two, McDavid, Crosby, I agree with that. Again, I think the range should have been shorter because I think the stuff that Crosby does that goes unnoticed is incredible. I watched this video of just smartest IQ plays, and like three of them were Crosby, and it was like incredible. His IQ is incredible, but obviously McDavid's speed is too much to handle. So I agree with that. Patrice Bergeron, I mean, he's probably one of the hardest workers and just greatest defensive player. So that makes sense to me. Then MacKinnon and Kopitar were obviously in the hard conversation last year. So for me, this kind of makes sense. You can obviously put some other players in there, but for me, it's solid.
Yeah, it's a
Sidney Crosby.
It's a good I actually agree with it. And the thing is, when I saw this question, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's going to be so much Tom Wilson, Ryan Reeves, all these tough and nailed grinders.
I took it the complete opposite way.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like this, to be honest. I did not think about toughness at all.
I thought all these NHL players were going to go hard on these grinders, but I was actually surprised and kind of happy to see.
The most difficult player to play against.
Yeah, they're actually putting the players that are difficult to play against. You can't play against Connor McDavid. You just simply can't sometimes. He's that good. And that's the correct answer, like, pretty much. Like, I was expecting to see all these tough grinders, but I'm happy to see the players that are, you know,
so here's what I would say. I would actually say Sidney Crosby might have the most skills, but Connor McDavid's speed. Like, did you see him? He blew past Oliver Ekman-Larsson, one of the best defensemen in the game. Literally just blew by him. One of the speediest. And again, yeah. And speed plays such a big part in the game where when you have Connor McDavid's speed, you're taking that right now over Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, you know what? I think me being biased, I really do like Sidney Crosby. I've watched a lot of Oilers games too, and this is not taking anything away from McDavid. Boy. I'm just saying that if I had to choose a player to an overtime player in the Stanley Cup Final Game 7,
5-on-5, mind you, it is 5-on-5. McDavid.
Yeah, 5-on-5, Crosby or McDavid. I'm choosing Crosby.
So am I.
10 so times. In the playoffs, it's Crosby.
10 times out
no,
of 10.
No, obviously, and I agree.
It's Crosby. Crosby digs people out of the corner. He irritates the crap out of everybody.
He's the best all-around player.
You just can't
Connor McDavid might be faster, but
Sidney,
I'll say this right now. Sidney Crosby is the best all-around player in the NHL. You cannot tell me that he's not.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do anything against him defensively.
Defense.
Can't face-off, defense, stick.
Like, stick-checking, exactly.
Has underrated speed. Underrated speed.
Yo, his legs are. Yo, this doesn't sound suspect, but his legs are like giant.
Massive. They're massive.
His legs are massive. That's what we know about him.
They would smash water.
Shout out to Jesse Pollock from Bar Down. That's a bar from him.
For real. So, I mean, if it was me, I would choose Sidney Crosby over McDavid, but I can understand why people
choose
McDavid.
The thing is, I would choose Sidney Crosby in that situation, but for most difficult, Connor McDavid's speed is too much to handle, man.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to another question that has these two. Which player would you select to start a franchise with? You have Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby,
dominating.
Matthews, Bergeron, and McKinnon in that order. Basically McDavid 60%, Crosby 18.5%. Obviously, you're shooting Connor McDavid. If you didn't, I don't know the players. I mean, maybe the players are thinking, oh, win now. But obviously, you're shooting Connor McDavid. Matthews is there, which makes sense. I think we don't really have to spend too much time unless you guys want to. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I kind of want to do. So I'm going to go with, let's just say if all of them are 18, but
ooh,
all have the same
skills. No, but that's not what we're doing
right
here
now.
Man.
I know.
Okay, so let's just do this in a different direction. All right, I'm down.
Let me say it out loud. So who would you want to start a franchise with? An 18-year-old Connor McDavid? What the same
contract's the same too.
18, same contract. 18-year-old Crosby, 18-year-old Austin Matthews, 18-year-old Patrice Bergeron, or 18-year-old Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah, I mean, Crosby, he had like his stretch in like 2009 for 2013 was like one of the best of all time.
God, he's a god.
A hockey god.
That's what I mean. He's a hockey guy. Imagine having 18-year-old Crosby versus young Crosby versus
this question is all about today. You don't choose Crosby because he's 31.
So,
boy, I don't know. So if it was about today, obviously I would choose Nathan McKinnon.
Whoa. Here's what I'll say. That kind of makes sense just because McDavid makes so much money, and obviously McKinnon might be a substantial lower, but the amount of money that McKinnon is make, he's on the best contract in the NHL.
McDavid deserves that money so much.
No, but like McKinnon.
Yeah. Well, if we're not counting money, which I really doubt that the players are counting money here. They're like, oh well, if Connor McDavid was only at $12 million, my franchise. Nobody's saying that.
No, exactly. That's why it's Connor McDavid. But again, if you're counting money, like McKinnon's on one of the best contracts like in history.
Well, let's not count money. If we're not counting money, I obviously Connor McDavid. But you know what? I personally like Nathan McKinnon. If I was going to start a franchise with how he plays now.
Carrying
like
Mikko Rantanen, right? Because he's overrated, right? Right.
I kind of like Nathan McKinnon, man. He's
my Colorado Avalanche. Let's go.
Your favorite team.
Yeah, for real. I really like him. I mean, that's nothing against. Nothing to take away from McDavid. I mean, if I had to start a franchise, I think I would. Personally, no, it sounds stupid. I don't know. I would rather Nathan McKinnon. I just like his skills. I like his defense. I think he plays really, really well defensively.
Over McDavid?
And he has the speed. Over McDavid defensively? Yeah, it definitely does. I think McKinnon is a way better defensive forward than McDavid. Plays about the same amount of minutes. has a, the skill set to get you still 90 to 100 points, and he plays defense. He plays on the penalty.
Okay, so I'm just gonna play devil's advocate real quick, just for McDavid and his defense. I'm just gonna say he uses so much energy on offense because he's the only player who can score other than Draisaitl and Nuge. That, like, honestly, like, I don't even blame him for not playing defense. Like,
he's a good defensive forward.
No, exactly.
He's
that's what I'm saying.
Fantastic.
But when he needs to take a break, I don't even blame him, man. Like, god damn, he does so much for that team. All right.
We need to move on to trash talk.
This next one, I actually have a little bit of a gripe with, because I think TK should be in there, Travis Konecny. He's a really good trash talker.
That Stadium Series clip? Oh, my god.
Hit him, and what else? What's his name? Why can't I remember his name?
Antoine Roussel.
No.
Dang it.
I think... this might be a homer type of pick, but maybe Max Domi. That's not even who I was thinking of, but Max Domi, like, trash talks a lot. But so we have Brad Marchand at 21.3, Drew Doughty 11.8, Ryan Reeves 5.5, Claude Drew 4.8, Nick Cousins
for some reason.
Nick Cousins 3.3%. So for me, Drew Doughty has to be first, right? Marchand just licks people, man. That's suspect as hell.
Well, that's.
No, Marchand's always down there saying stuff. He's always in it with everybody talking crap.
You're right. I just don't like Marchand where I don't want him to win anything. That's my issue. I don't like him.
If you've reached the... Hold on. If you've reached the level where you can lick somebody and get away with
it... He did not get Marchand. No one like... Oh, okay. Well,
Marchand is smart about it. Drew Doughty is just mad.
Drew Doughty.
Have you seen those clips where he's like... He's just like...
He sounds like a toddler.
He sounds like a toddler, but he'll beat the out of you, and he'll beat you in hockey.
When has he been? He's never been in a fight in his life.
Probably not.
He's never been in a fight in his life. He just
he's a monster, bro. Just in general.
At least Brad Marchand will fight you if it really ultimately all the way comes down to it. At least he'll go down and do something to you.
Wait, this is crazy. Like, I didn't even see this.
What?
The worst trash talker. It's like the same people.
Yeah, Brad Marchand number one.
Yeah, Brad Marchand number one. Roussel can't even speak English. Subban number three. Nick Cousins 4.7. Brendan Lemieux 3.5. So I think when you trash talk a lot, obviously you're gonna have a few bad chirps. So that's why Marchand and Nick Cousins in here. And let me just defend Subban, not for his thing, because obviously he's probably he's a
people are just salty about him.
They're salty about him, but not even that. He's too nice. He's too. Like, did you see that Zadorov clip? He's like, I'm not gonna fight you. I'm just gonna score on you. Like, he's just too nice.
That's the way to do it.
He's too nice to fight. That's all I'm gonna say. That's why he's a bad trash talker when he tries to, because he's too nice to do it. He's a good old Canadian boy.
All right, let's go on to the next one. Who would make
this is a weird one?
No, this is easy.
Ron Hainsey.
No, but it's easy, dude. PK Subban all day, every day.
He only got 10% though.
That's the thing. I don't get how PK Subban did not get more votes, but you cannot tell me that PK Subban is not going to be, would not be.
He's amazing.
Your analyst.
Because this is all.
You're right. Because everyone doesn't want to pick him, but 10.8, we're like.
Yeah. Ron Hainsey, really? Come on, man.
I think his IQ is good, so he's going to be a guy like Ryan Burke where.
He's going to
be a guy like Ryan Burke where no one really likes his takes, but he's a smart guy, so he's going to get there. So I agree, PK Subban.
Little Canadian kid.
Yeah, PK Subban, the hockey god.
Next one.
So I agree with this for the most. Just for the first one. Who would make the best NHL GM once they retire? Sidney Crosby, 5.5%. Jason Spezza, 4.8%. Brooke Schoepfer, 4.5%. Mark Scheifele, 3.8%. And Derek Stepan with the same. Let me just tell you, no one really cared about this question because the highest was 5.5%. Yeah. So everyone just picked a bunch of different people because other had 77.7%. But I do think Sidney Crosby, just because, again, his IQ is so good.
Jason Spezza, I can see. Yeah. I definitely see that. But, like, not a Brooks Orpik?
Brooks Orpik is kind of tough. That's kind of tough. Anyway, let's move on because that's not really... They definitely just select... You know when you have the paper and you're just like, I don't even care. You just select somebody. That's definitely what happened here. So let's move on.
Random though. Yeah, but
let's move on to who is the funniest player.
Hold on.
Spezza is a smart dude.
So Spezza, I wonder, so if you're a player and they ask you this and you're like, Jason Spezza seems smart. He has a good diet. Jason Spezza. Like, that's what I think. Like, if I had to ask, like, see if I'm playing
hockey. Looks like a healthy dude.
Sport,
I'll take him.
He looks smart when he wears
smart hockey man. He's been in the business.
He doesn't even wear glasses. That's sad.
All right. All right, guys. Who is the funniest player? Another one of, like...
Keith Yandel, I kind of...
Doesn't really matter. Keith Yandel, Drew Doughty, Bufflin, Burns, Girardi. Again, not one of these.
Louis Domingue deserves an honorable mention for what he's done in the last couple of months. He rode on a motorcycle. Well,
if Eddie Lack was still in the
league, Eddie Lack is amazing. Yo, yes.
Definitely follow him on Twitter.
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have who is the best current female hockey player. So we have 27.6% Hillary Knight.
USA, baby.
Marie-Philippe Poulin, 24.1%. Amanda Kessel, 12.8%. Obviously, the sister of Phil Kessel. 5.9% for Kendall Coyne Schofield. Obviously, you recognize that name from the All-Star game. Then we have Emily... I'm not going to pronounce
Falzer,
that.
Falzer, I think.
Falzer, okay. 5.9%. I didn't want to take it, so Hillary Knight... Go girl. I'm gonna be honest.
Hillary Knight's a beast.
She's awesome.
This is just me being I guess this is me being not smart. I don't really remember because I just watched the Olympics, so for me for me it was always Wickenheiser. That's the only person I really cared about.
Once she retired, it was kinda out of there. But moving on to I think honestly one of the most interesting ones. Would you be in favor of a regular season game similar to MLB Players Weekend featuring nicknames on jerseys? Now, 66.8% said yes, 33.2% said no. And what the MLB did was they had this weekend where in the regular season they had these specific jerseys where I think it was like different designs, but they had nicknames of the players on the back. And I thought that was amazing. Like I actually watched baseball for like the first time in a year because of that. And I feel like the NHL doing that would be absolutely an amazing idea because there's so many really great nicknames in the NHL, and that's like kind of a historic thing. That's kind of a tradition for a lot of people.
Okay.
And I feel like that could work pretty well.
So here's the thing. I'm going to say that whole thing about why not. You sell more jerseys if you can put them up for sale.
Exactly.
You sell more jerseys, you get more fans involved. I don't know why you wouldn't. Let me just say a Breadman Panarin jersey with just Breadman on the back would be dope. And I'm not sure if we're going to go through this on this or not, but I just want to point out that there was the best nickname on here somewhere. We might get to it, we might not, but Breadman was second, which was for me was atrocious. That is the best hockey nickname for me.
I mean, yeah, I would say so.
Exactly.
No, I would want to see it on the back of a jersey. Not only that, when you have, like, it makes people feel more personal.
Kid Crosby, oh, that'd be dope.
That'd be awesome. All right, let's go move on.
Oh, arenas now.
All right.
Yes, here we go. This is my favorite ones. I love these ones. Which arena has the best atmosphere?
T-Mobile Arena.
T-Mobile.
Bell Center, I can see, but like, no.
No, it is. Grav, don't take this away from me.
How can you put Bridgestone below Bell Center? Is. Bridgestone Arena before
Bell Center. Dude, the Bell Center, come on, man.
Bridgestone. Dude. Natural Predators, come on, man.
Have you ever been? You've never really seen like a playoff game in?
I have. That's the issue. I have. Trust me.
It should definitely be top five.
Amazing. No, not you. I'm talking about.
Have you seen a playoff game in Nashville?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like.
I don't know.
I know they have that big chant and everything, but it's just like the whole time the Bell Center is just. Just rocking the entire time. Like there's not 1 second of every time they go past the blue line, all you hear is
that PK Subban clip where he comes out of the box and gets a goal on that breakaway. Dude, I can barely hear the commentator, and they literally had to bump his audio up because it sounds like weird, and you can definitely tell they boosted the commentator's audio. It sounds so weird because the Montreal crowd was going crazy. So I think. Maybe you could put them equal, Grav, to your point, but I think the Bell Center is just crazy. And then Vegas is obviously amazing.
It's kind of also just like in recent memory. Like Vegas,
recent
for
memory,
a lot of players
yeah.
probably yeah, for a lot of players probably just have Vegas on the mind recently for sure.
Yeah, well, every single game's a sellout. Yeah. Every single game, they go crazy. United Center, I've been to a playoff game at the United Center. That's
I'm surprised Winnipeg
nuts.
Is so low, on only 3%. Like, that's kind of crazy to me.
They've only been in the playoffs.
That's the issue. Yeah. I think they need more playoff games, but for now, it's like they're still electric from when they're there.
Yeah.
All right.
But moving on to the next one, which arena has the best ice?
Bell Center, baby.
This one doesn't really, like, who cares?
We can't speak on it because obviously we're not NHL players.
But like
29 points.
It matters.
It definitely matters, but we can't speak on it, right? We can't speak on it, but it matters.
I could speak on it. I could speak on it. When I play hockey, I could speak on it. When you have bad ice.
No, like, but you cannot tell me that in the NHL it's pretty much the same, dude. Like, there's no way. Dude, they're not like us playing beer league or house league or rep or whatever you want to say, where like some arenas are bad.
Well, I'm saying comparatively speaking.
But then you're nitpicking, right, at that point. But I would say...
Well, that's the whole point. We do a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here to nitpick. If I'm nitpicking, if there's bad ice, like Florida, like hell no. That's probably 0% for being honest. Like, I would want to see what has the worst ice. Is that the next
one? No, it's not. They didn't do that because that would be bullying.
Best NHL team mascot, boys. 69%.
For
Nicely gritty. Go and then, like the difference between the mascots is just
ridiculous.
It's only
70%
like,
for gritty, and the next three have 2%. Shout out Yupi, the goat,
my boy Victory Green, baby.
The only reason for Yupi, just because from the Expos, thanks man. But gritty has been awesome.
How can you not say gritty?
The first day where all the people on Twitter were like, "Yo, this is so scary," but then they just turned it into a meme and they turned it into a cool thing.
Yeah.
Philadelphia did a really good job with gritty and how they turned it from being something horrible to be something awesome that. Literally, people watch highlights just to see Gritty and his antics, which is crazy. So that's pretty cool to see.
He, like, embodies the Flyers.
And that's the thing. He embodies the Flyers, just sure. All right. So let's move on here to
off-ice thing.
Yeah, so now we have best dressed player. So Henrik Lundqvist, 25%. If you disagree with that, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a suit.
Oh, he's such a
Oh my god, wow. Okay. 7.6% for PK Subban.
Jay's having some
4.6%
for Eric Carlson, some big emotions.
2.7%
right
for Brent Burns and 2.4% for Todd Sagan. The only thing I'd have a gripe about is that Subban probably should have less of a range between Lundqvist and Subban. Not even by that much. I think this is pretty accurate. But Subban is very well-dressed.
He's just funny. Yeah. Like, he always makes an entrance.
Exactly. But Lundqvist, obviously, is the best dressed.
Pretty good stuff.
Lundqvist is just the GOAT.
I like Carlson. Carlson
is freaking amazing.
What do you put...
If we're talking about, like, suit-wise, like, how it looks on a man, I think Carlson is the definition.
No, Lundqvist
just, like,
is the definition,
suit,
bro.
Suit? Man, both of them, but both of them. I think they're both on equal terms. I think, like, creativity-wise, I think Subban has, like, the most creative outfit.
This
like
is the
Russell
funniest
Westbrook
argument
kind
ever.
Of the league.
I'm just saying, I think Subban has one of the most creative outfits because you always see him with something weird. You know, it's like he has that hat that he wears. It's like, I would hear, like, as he walks in.
This is the funniest argument ever, man.
Yeah.
Well, Carlson has that the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, okay.
Speaking of his hair,
moving on.
The best hair
in
the league. Carlson 18.4%. Lundqvist 6.6%. William Carlson 5.7%. 3.9% for Brent Burns and just his beard. And then I don't know. I guess maybe
my boy Willie.
I don't know how.
Oh, Willie has a bowl up there.
Willie has a bowl up there, but I don't know. I guess like a lot of people have that type of flow. But yeah, definitely Erik Karlsson and Lundqvist have the best hair, and then William Carlson.
I actually disagree with this. I think Henrik Lundqvist has the best by far, because every single time that man is on the bench, he literally has it perfect. Somehow he gets it just perfect every single time. Even when he takes out his helmet when he's like 40 minutes into a game, it's still freaking perfect somehow. And Erik Karlsson has a flow. Like, I'm not gonna disprove that, but Henrik Lundqvist is just magical. He's just a wizard.
No, I think William Nylander's hair is pretty good too, man. Every time he takes off his helmet, man, he just flips it up. Yeah. He just flips it up, and you just
same
get
thing
lost.
With William Carlson.
Look at him.
All right, speaking of lost, let's move on to the best nickname.
Brent, oh no! Brent Burns has like a samurai jacket.
This is why I want to move on. This is why I want to move on. But whatever.
What's the one that I have a gripe with?
So even though it's again one of my that you have a great with this. We have Thomas Tuna, Tatar, 5.6%. Artemi, Bredman, Panarin, 5.2%.
It's not Tomas Tatar.
Bro, that's okay. Grab
that's
way
his
to
nickname.
Ruin. Way to
like
ruin
tuna?
That.
3.2%
for Marco Snacks Dano, 3.2% for Christian Stinky Fisher, and 2% for Connor McJesus McDavid. I think Bredman should be way ahead of all these guys.
Bredman should be the best one
out of all these. I'm sorry, Tatar. But come on,
Tuna?
Bredman?
Really?
Bredman has tuna? To be.
Do you know the backstory of his tuna nickname?
I haven't heard of it until this year.
I think the story was that somebody left a tuna sandwich, or his mom left a tuna sandwich him every single day outside of his outside, like, would just come by his house, drop by one inside of his mailbox, and then some of the players started seeing that he would come to the rink with tuna sandwiches.
Yeah, the story is great, but come on, dude, that's funny. That's great. Breadman is still better.
Well, Panera and Breadman, but this is actual tuna.
No, like, bro, tuna Breadman is so good, sandwiches. Dude. Breadman is so good.
Panera.
All right. Okay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So this one I actually think is very interesting.
Why is he stink? Why is Christian stinky? Yeah,
stinky.
I don't know, man. That's kind of tough for him. That's really tough. And he got outed like this. He kind of got...
He's a good.
Could you imagine waking up and then?
No, but imagine getting voted on it. Imagine getting voted for the best nickname as Stinky.
Players voted on that too. That's so funny.
Yeah. All right, so
is Mark Odano even in the league anymore? Like.
Yeah, yeah. Fourth line with Jack Roslovich. Come on now.
Oh, really?
I couldn't. I was literally going to say the same thing. I'm like, is he still?
I'm pretty sure he's on that fourth line, right? Let me check. I'll check right now.
248 players voted. Yeah. On
Stinky.
That too,
all right, hilarious. So let's move on to this one. Actually, stinky. I think might be pretty interesting. So who is your what is the favorite sport to follow outside of hockey? We have golf, 29.4%, which makes sense just because hockey kind of
half
switches
the league
the season.
Does it in the off season.
So yeah, that's why. Then we have football, American football, 25.7%. Then we have soccer or just football, 21%. Baseball, 6.8%, and basketball, 6.6%. So the thing with basketball is, like, I think they would like it if they watch it, but their season coincides with hockey, so it's probably be hard for them to watch.
And basketball's just bad, so
I disagree. But kidding. It's just hard for them
to
watch.
Well, basketball the game is fun, but not the
it's
NBA.
It's hard for.
Yeah, I don't know. The NBA is kind of bad, man. The NBA sucks.
So golf, that makes sense. Football is just America's sport, Yeah, that kind of makes sense. So next one, we have athletes themselves. Wait.
Well, hold on. I think this kind of coincides with, like, the European, because a lot of people watch soccer, like the European players. Yeah. A lot of them watch soccer and stuff, you know, like golf, man. I like watching golf now more than anything for betting wise. So it's like, I understand that a lot too. Like football's the same thing. Football coincides with the NHL season up until what, February anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, you want to compare, like, I think all, like, low key, I think a lot of these guys like doing betting stuff.
Yeah. Maybe money, you might as well.
You look at the betting stuff for that. I mean, like, soccer, baseball's kind of lame, though. I'm not going to lie. Baseball's kind of lame. Basketball.
No, basketball's cool. I think baseball's kind of
meh. American players are just carrying baseball at that point.
Yeah. All right. Who is your favorite athlete outside of hockey? So now we have 24.4% Tiger Woods, 11.3% Roger Federer, the tennis god. We have 9.5% for the GOAT, LeBron James, 8.7% for the other GOAT, Tom Brady, and 5.7% for the other GOAT, Lionel Messi.
Eh. I was kind of surprised LeBron James wasn't higher, but...
It kind of makes sense. Tiger Woods golf, 11.3% for Federer. Yeah. Just the sports and what they coincide with. So, that is...
Well, Tiger Woods is so interesting.
So that is the
Tiger Woods is such an interesting guy.
Player poll where we had, I think it was for all of these around 500 players voted.
Jay doesn't want to talk about Tiger Woods.
Well,
wow, LeBron, Tiger Woods hater.
This is a hockey podcast, right? That was just getting
known Tiger Woods. Dude, we're doing a player poll.
Whatever.
So we're not gonna talk about Tiger Woods. Continue your
conclusion. Dude, I did not realize that we spent 52 minutes on this. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at first whatever. Good, it's fine. Alright, now we will move on to the game show, I guess. I guess we're gonna skip right to the What am I saying? I'm dumb. We're gonna move on.
We're gonna move on to
the Jimmy Howard contract. I don't know why I just skipped over all of that. He got a new contract.
Because you're a pigeon.
Yeah. Sad. The exhilarating Jimmy Howard contract. That's how bad the NHL news is right now. It's the playoffs, and then Jimmy Howard gets a one-year extension. $4 million.
Well, here's the thing with Detroit. It's like people would say, oh, you should probably move and get some picks. No, in this league, starting goaltenders are hard to find. So when you got him, hold on to him. So they re-signed
him.
Isn't
he like 33 or something?
Yeah, so right now his cap hit is 5.291. And then they just re-sign him for the extra year, which it will now be $4 million for the 2019-2020 season. So kind of makes sense. Good contract and a good deal for both sides.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird because this is one of his like better seasons that
he's just
had
old, really right? Too. I think he knew that. That's yeah. All.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that he didn't get traded during the trade deadline. To be honest with you, I thought that he might have went to San Jose and then just came
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
I mean, I thought that would have happened. I'm not sure if any team. Not sure if he didn't want to be.
No,
moved,
I think Detroit was smart because I think they probably wouldn't have gotten him back. Because if he plays well for San Jose, they'll re-sign him to some. A decent or some team, because basically they have rights to re-sign him now mid-season, right? But if they trade him, he could re-sign anywhere in July, and people pay some big money for him, so they kind of saved a lot of money for themselves, really, because they get teams can give him 1 year at a lot of money.
Yeah, but do you think he knows?
Yeah,
that,
he does. He's an NHL player. He has a good agent for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like he doesn't know this stuff. Like, I think if he went somewhere else, I think he would have came back to Detroit anyway. It's just a weird timing, like right now, for him to sign a contract extension. You know, like it's in the middle of March, and he's signing a contract extension. It's just kind of weird, at least for me. Like, over the summer, for Detroit at least, they're going to need to, like, re-sign a couple key players right now.
They're going to have to get back to the cap.
Like, yeah, so it's like, I don't know.
But we're finally going to end this thing, and whatever kind of podcast episode this was, I'm not even sure anymore. I'm not even sure anymore, honestly, but... Go follow Jay and Nico. Jay needs the followers.
Follow the show Twitter, at ROH Podcast. And every time we post our podcast, you better, I'm looking right at you, you better retweet this and follow us. Yeah, you better follow us on Spotify.
Nico is a hockey god. He looks at everybody.
And subscribe.
Yes.
Subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We need those.
We'll take your ratings.
We're
just give it to us.
I don't even need follows on my
just
own.
Just give
Twitter.
Us ratings, please. But that'll I think episode 7 will be next week. Yeah. Episode 7 will be next week. We don't even know anymore, honestly. But we'll see you guys next week. Crazy podcast. Rate, subscribe, whatever. We'll see ya. Keep preaching hockey. Goodbye.